From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's pulling away by three. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the Kentucky Derby. And the final time was 1 minute, 59 and 4/5 seconds. He was as fast as Secretariat.
Arrowgate, full out. Can he stick with it? California Chrome. Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
It's Ali Dar and Affirm battling back along the inside. We'll test these two to the wire. Affirmed under a left-hand whip. Ali Dar on the outside driving. Affirmed and Ali Dar heads apart. Affirm's got a nose in front as they come onto the wire.
The Derby winner, Barnett Bird, closing the late gap. But it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them. A filly has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the vacationing Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. I'm at Aqueduct, high atop the finish line here in South Ozone Park at the Big A. Big late pick five carryover later on here at Aqueduct that starts in race number five, over 79,000. Empire 6 went down here at the Big A yesterday. Rainbow 6 went down at Gulfstream recently as well. So all eyes, at least my eyes, will be on that late pick 5 here at the Big A later on this afternoon. I'll actually go through those final 5 races with you later on in this program. As it's kind of quiet on the Kentucky Derby trail this week. Just 1 3-year-old stakes, in fact. It's to Mind That Bird for the Colts and Geldings tomorrow afternoon out at Sunland Park. A little bit of a precursor to their Sunland Park Derby in a month where there are some Derby points on the line. Otherwise, kind of quiet. And, of course, the news hit yesterday that really one of the pillars of the game, the latter part of the 20th century and certainly into the first part of the 21st century, AP Indy passed away at old age, basically just the infirmities of old age at the age of 31 years old. And when one of the cornerstones and one of the, like I said, the pillars of the game, the last 2.5 decades, 3 decades on the track, and of course, in the breeding shed, it's a tough loss. It's a very, very tough loss. And when horses get to live to be that age, it's even tougher on those who surrounded them every day and took care of them every day. Coming from the mouth of a trainer's son, there is nothing worse than when you lose a horse. They literally become part of your family. Back in 1990, they've told the story a bunch of times. My dad had a horse by the name of Rockville Center. New York bred maiden claimer, hard knocking horse, nice around a barn. One of my favorite horses my dad trained, and he unfortunately took a bad step here at Aqueduct on March 23rd, 8 days before my birthday I shared with the great AP Indy. I didn't want to do much for my birthday that year. Dad stopped training. Dad literally stopped training, and of course this is different. This was just father time. Finally catching up with the old boy, 31 years of age. Of course, remembered for that low carry he had on the racetrack. As a New York kid, I remember, wasn't a fan of many California horses, especially after what Sunday Silence did to my easygoer and my soul in 1989. But I remember he came over and he was a really cool horse. One of my favorite racetrack memories was the weekend of him winning the Peter Pan at Belmont. He won the Peter Pan on Sunday, and my dad was a jocks agent at the time. Dixie Brass won the Met Mile on Monday, back when it was on Memorial Day. And I remember saying to myself, we're seeing two really good three-year-olds, and one of them, and AP Indy was the one that really had a chance to be any kind of racehorse. And He was an amazing racehorse. He turned out to be even better in the breeding shed. And like I said, when you have a horse like him and as not only as important, but a horse that's just been around as long as him. It's tough on everybody around him. Frank Angst from the Blood Horse does a fantastic job. He wrote a nice piece over at Blood Horse about AP Indy, and you know, he mentioned some of the folks over at Lane's End, and our condolences really go out to everyone over at Lane's End. I think people that don't love our sport. I know there's a lot of you out there listening this morning that get up every morning and have a job in this industry and go take care of these great animals and our majestic thoroughbreds every day. And I know there's plenty of you out there that have never touched a racehorse. It doesn't matter. In this sport, we're all family and there's a void. But when you go and see these horses every morning and when they rely on you to take care of them, there is a bond and a trust there that can't be explained to outsiders, that can't be explained to my friends who have no idea what it's like in the morning to have these horses who become part of your family rely on you to take care of them. When I put up my Facebook posts about how a certain race or a certain horse maybe changed my life, Tonalist literally changed my life, and fittingly, Tonalist did not reside very far from where AP Indy did. I got a chance to visit both of them back in November of 2018, and I'm glad I did. I got a couple of really nice shots of AP Indy, as well as my boy Tonalist. But it's hard to explain that to people that don't love our sport like we all do. Bill Farish, basically said when his dad, when Mr. Farish visited the farm, the first place he went when he went to Lane's End was to go see AP Indy. His groom Asa, I don't even know how long Asa took care of him. I remember being at Lane's End and just, hearing some stories there. It was it's a tough pill to swallow. And again, our thoughts and condolences and prayers going with everyone at Lane's End this morning. I have to imagine it was a very tough and tall task to have to go to that farm today. And not see the big horse roaming around his paddock. 31 years of age. We had a lot of great years out of AP Indy, a lot of great memories on the track. Of course, a bunch of amazing offspring. There's 29 sons of AP Indy standing at stud as we speak, which is just a testament to what he was. I said this a million times. Seattle Slough. He was our Seattle Slough. I don't know if there's any way around that. He was my generation's Seattle Slough. And, he will be he'll be surely missed. And, again, the great AP Indy gone at the age of 31. Jude Fell, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, going to join us right around the 8:50 hour. You'll hear a fantastic vignette that Jude and the entire team here at HRM produced in honor of AP Indy's 20th anniversary of his Breeders' Cup Classic win back in 2012. We'll hear that, and we'll spend a few minutes reminiscing about the big horse with Jude Feld. Darren Fox, Darley sales manager, going to join us as part of our Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence. PJ Campo, jockey agent. He's done a lot of different things in the racing game. He's a jocks agent now. He has apprentice Luis Cardenas and the red-hot Eric Cancel here in the Big Apple. Well, PJ will join us a little later on as well. We'll talk to Jude, like I said. Libby Imperio, president of the Belmont Child Care Association, a charity and an organization that's near and dear to my heart, will join us to talk about what's in store for 2020 and beyond over at Anna House and the entire Belmont Child Care Association. Yesterday afternoon, if you tuned into Red Brand Radio, you heard Romero Mirage. Romero just moved his tack from Gulfstream Park after a horrific injury last year. He's here in New York now, represented by Rudy Rodriguez Jr. He's our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris, and sat down with Romero for about 15 minutes yesterday, and he was great. Talked about everything from what it felt like to ride Maximum Security in his first couple of starts all the way to his feelings and thoughts towards Paco Lopez, the other rider involved in that horrific incident that cost him a year of his career last year. We'll talk to Romero. And then, like I said, at the end of the show, not only will we hear from Bobby Newman calling all three-year-olds presented by Spendthrift and our Four Roses Bourbon segment featuring Brent Elliott, but I will try and give you some thoughts on that late pick five here at the Big A later on this afternoon. AP Indy was scratched from the 1992 Kentucky Derby with a foot ailment. And, of course, I don't think anybody would have had 10 minutes on this program without mentioning Kentucky Derby 146, which is 70 days, 9 hours, 39 minutes, and 28 seconds away. You're welcome, Pontiff. Poll question this morning, with 10 weeks to go. Who would be your selection in the Kentucky Derby right now? Plenty of time to sort it out, 10 weeks, but I want to know who you'd be betting if that didn't say 70 days, that countdown, and it said 0 days and 9 hours. Who would you be betting if Kentucky Derby 146 was just 9 hours away? You can hit us up on Twitter, at HRN, and let us know. We'll read some of your thoughts on the air. Let's take our first break. When we come back, Darren Fox from Darley will join us to talk about their Stallion roster in our Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. This is the Equine Forum on HRN presented by Red Brand Fence. They're manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lord Nelson, one of only three sprinters last decade to win three Grade Ones in a single year, along with champions Run Happy and Mattoli. His three consecutive Grade One victories included a stakes record performance in 107 and 3/5 in Del Mar's historic Bing Crosby Stakes.
Lord Nelson, a dominating performance, easy in the Bing Crosby.
An unrivaled blend of elite speed and pedigree. Lord Nelson, Pulpit's last great son. Look for his first yearling selling this summer. Spendthrift. The Breeders' Farm.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the FIPS in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Unanimous champion 2-year-old and 3-time Grade 1 winner Classic Empire got off to a fantastic start with his first weanlings at the November sales. Averaging over $100,000 from 27 sold, up to 8 times his initial $35,000 stud fee. Right on the same cross as champion freshman sire American Pharoah, Classic Empire's outstanding race record is backed up with a stallion's pedigree. Being from the family of Harlan's Holiday, Ride the Rails, and Bold Nijin. Standing for just $20,000, Classic Empire looks like a serious value for 2020.
The Florida thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FDBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Make plans to attend the National HBPA Annual Conference March 24th to the 27th at the Embassy Suites in Hot Springs, Arkansas. The conference begins with a cocktail reception on Tuesday evening and wraps up Friday with an afternoon of racing at Oaklawn Park. In addition to panels and speakers focusing on racing's hottest topics, accomplished jockey and award-winning racing analyst for NBC Sports, Donna Barton Brothers, will deliver the keynote address. Registrations must be made by Monday, February 24th, so don't delay. Make your reservation now. Learn more at hbpa.org.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Animal Kingdom leads. Animal Kingdom three lengths in front of Red Cadeau. And Animal Kingdom wins the Dubai World Cup.
And they're coming down to the finish. And once again, with nonchalant brilliance, Bernardini has won.
Oh my goodness, look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely wrapped in the Met Mile. He was wrapped up in a final time of 1 minute 32.73 seconds.
And Street Sense has roared from 19th position to first in the Derby. Hard Fun ties the hole for second. And then from the back in Stumpfield on any given Saturday. And here is Street Sense, a stretch running sensation.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Stallion Spotlight presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And welcome back to the Equine Forum on this fantastic February Saturday morning. The Big A in for the Baron. Nice enough to join us now from Darley, their sales manager, Darren Fox, to talk about the Stallion roster over at Darley America. How are you, Darren? Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you, sir?
Doing well, doing well. Few quick thoughts on AP Indy. Obviously, you know, like I said earlier today, the all one big family. I can't even imagine how they feel over at Lane's End this morning.
Oh, look, such an icon, such a breed-shaping influence. You know, obviously we have one of his sons in Bernardini who's hugely special and important to us. So, look, it's a huge loss and, you know, his impact will be felt through sons and daughters for generations to come. So that's probably the only solace.
Yeah, 29 sons at stud. And you mentioned Bernardini, of course, one of the more accomplished racetrack runners over at an impressive, a very impressive Stallion roster you folks have put together over at Darley.
Well, thank you. Look, it's, you know, fortunate to be working with horses like this, and you know, it certainly makes the job fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, I could only imagine what that's like. I didn't get a chance to come down to Darley when I visited Kentucky last year, but just going down the list and taking a look, and I will say this, I'm 750 miles away, but on this website, on your Darley America website, I feel like I am in the heart of the bluegrass. You guys have done a sensational job with this website. Great to navigate, and you get a good look at all of these stallions, including one of my favorite horses of all time. I was a big Frosted fan, and looking forward to him, and now Enticed is new this year, and the Nyquist two-year-olds, a lot of exciting new prospects down at Darley.
Yeah, look, definitely. Look, just to start on Frosted and Nyquist, to have the both of those with their first two-year-olds this year is hugely exciting, and it's obviously a very big year for us in that regard. Like you mentioned, you know, Frosted, I was actually there for his Met Mile, and I've never had that experience where I was about to start to cheer for a horse and then was totally stunned and immobilized and just watched the race in total awe. So, yeah, he's obviously, you know, very, very special to us. And obviously Nyquist to be, you know, an unbeaten champion two-year-old who stayed undefeated through the Derby. You know, it's so rare to get a horse that can be as good as he was at two and yet still stay ahead of his peers through the Derby. So, you know, his body work through the Derby set some crazy milestones. He's the first undefeated champion two-year-old to stay undefeated through the Derby since Seattle Slough. So, you know, again, just kind of puts into perspective what that horse achieved. And I think definitely the market is primed for both of their progeny. And we're hearing great reports out of Florida. So it's very exciting and all to play for.
Yeah, you know, I think he goes, he flies a little bit under the radar. And I am looking forward to seeing his two-year-olds on the track. He had a full year of absolute dominance. I mean, a lot of races under his belt as a two-year-old. And then, like you said, to hold his class and to hold his form through the Kentucky Derby back in 2016, a lot of people forget Gun Runner was the third-place finisher in that Kentucky Derby.
No doubt. The form has certainly stood the test of time. And, yeah, look, his progeny are very much in his mold, a lot of class. You know, I think one of Nyquist's best attributes was his you know, his mental, you know, his mental outlook, or his just his bomb-proof nature. And I think he's certainly passing that on to his progeny, which is gratifying to hear. But they just look very athletic, you know, very, very athletic horses. But they certainly have a two-turn look to them like he did. So, you know, he certainly hits that, you know, that sweet spot of precocity, but also an ability to stretch it around two turns or three. So we're hopeful that they can follow in their father's footsteps.
And that day you mentioned them at Mile with Frosted on that Belmont Stakes undercard. I was cheering for him because he's one of my favorites of all time, but he looked like he was going to take flight that day when they spun off the turn over at Big Sandy. I had never seen a performance. I was, our broadcast position is at the top of the building, and he literally looked like he was going to fly up to us that afternoon.
It was amazing. And when you watch the closing stages and see that he was obviously, he was geared down towards the end of the race. And then when you look at the metrics from that race, that he stopped the clock in 1:32.3, which is the fastest time in the history of Met Mile, his 1:23 buyer, is the highest buyer at a mile ever in the U.S., and it's the highest buyer at any distance for the last 13 years. So when you let that sink in and watch how he was geared down, it's just a jaw-dropping, you know, race that we tend to have on loop when people come through the office, and I can say it certainly never gets old to watch that race again.
Yeah, I can only imagine. We're talking with Darren Fox, sales manager over at Darley America. How special is it for you guys? Because, you know, when you look through this stallion roster, and, of course, the two that really jump off are Frosted and Enticed, to have these horses that you campaigned, in a way, come home and continue to fly the banner.
Yeah, look, that is hugely gratifying. You know, we obviously... you know, to talk about Enticed, like his Damn It's Tricky was such a, you know, phenomenal race mare for us. She won three grade ones and ran second in another three. So she was obviously an elite race mare for Kieran. So to have her son Enticed, you know, go through the program and, you know, perform at the highest level and then come back to the Stallion Barn, you know, it's certainly to watch it come full circle like that. It's really what it's all about. And it just makes it more meaningful when you've had generations of the family. You know, it's just certainly gratifying and makes it that little extra bit special, you know.
A couple of Derby winners in Nyquist and, of course, Street Sense. And then impossible to talk to anybody from Darley and not talk about your cornerstone, Medaglia d'Oro.
You know, Medaglia d'Oro, yeah, what kind of joke he keeps the lights on. Obviously, he's priced at 200,000, and he's just been phenomenal to us. You know, very lucky to have him around. You know, obviously, you think about all his exploits as a stallion, but just to start about him as a racehorse, like, obviously, he was an elite racehorse. You know, won the Travers at 3, the Whitney at 4, the Don at 5, second in 2 Breeders' Cup Classics, and second in the Dubai World Cup, which is phenomenal. But he raced 17 times. He was first or second in 15 of those 17 starts. But what I really love is that in 14 of those 17 starts, he ran triple-digit buyers up to a high of 120. Like, that is just remarkable and just shows that he was an elite, high-level performer time and time again. And, you know, in hindsight, it's no surprise to see him being as accomplished a stallion as he is. He's sired 25 grade one winners, four of them last year, four new ones. That was two in Australia and two in the US, namely in Canberra Park in the Dunmar Oaks, and then obviously Higher Power in the Pacific Classic. But, you know, he has just been, you know, an exceptional stallion for us, and we're looking forward to, you know, his sons and daughters, you know, carrying on his legacy.
His legacy and his consistency, just absolutely remarkable. I mean, it's, you know, you can set your clock to Medaglia d'Oro having his upper echelon grade one winners each and every year, and it's a testament to what you folks do over at Dolly America with all of these stallions. I mean, they're all fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing these Frosted and these Nyquist babies, though.
No, definitely. And then, you know, just to add on to Medaglia, like, he's that special horse in the market because, obviously, like we said, he just delivers elite runners time and time again, but he also delivers in the sales ring, and that's, you know, so important commercially when breeders are spending $200,000 on a stud fee. Look, he's had $16 million yearlings in the last 4 years, and no stallion in the U.S. can match it. So, you know, to get a horse who can deliver on the track but also deliver in the sales ring, you know, let's not forget that it is a huge element to what breeders do. And he scores high marks in both categories. So, yeah, he's certainly been an important stallion for us for sure.
Does he know he's the top dog around the place?
Definitely. Look, you know, he certainly has that air, and, you know, he's comes out and strikes his poles and, you know, keeps his ears pricked for cameras, and yeah, he certainly recognizes his position on the roster, that's for sure.
That's great when the classy ones and the great ones know their worth and know what they are. It's great when they exude it. Darren, thanks for some time this morning. We will certainly catch you down the road and look forward to seeing the new babies from Nyquist and Frosted on the track this year.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Anthony. Have a good day.
You got it, Darren. You as well. Darren Fox, sales manager over at Dolly America. Medaglia d'Oro, man. You just, each and every year, you literally can set your clock to him. He is just absolutely, positively amazing. Just keeps cranking out runners at the highest level. An absolute legend in our game, Medaglia d'Oro. And speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
At beautiful Hialeah, on a warm, pleasant Saturday afternoon in February of 1956, a banner field of thoroughbreds went postward for the running of the highly prestigious Widener Handicap. The winner's share of the purse was to be $92,600. In that super field of nine horses that would answer the call to post were Sailor, Find, Social Outcast, Man of Destiny, Nashua, and an invader from Venezuela, El Chama. There was an all-time record crowd on hand, 42,000-plus, breaking the previous high watermark for attendance by some 5,000. The previous largest crowd had been on Flamingo Day in 1955, when Nashua won that event as a three-year-old. Most of those on hand, many of whom jammed the paddock area with cameras, came to catch a glimpse of the Sonny Fitzsimmons-trained Nashua, who had Eddie Arcaro in the irons and packed a top weight of 127 pounds. There were a number of critics who felt that Nashua had worked too fast just a few days before the race, having clocked a 2:02 flat just the Tuesday previous to the race at Tropical Park. That workout had been necessitated by a very heavy strip at Hialeah. Still others doubted that Mr. Fitz could bring Nashua up to a winning effort under the heavy impost against a very tough handicap field at a mile and a quarter after having been off the racetrack competitively for 4 months. Nashua appeared to be highly keyed up in the walking ring. Arcaro admitted that he was rank right up until the time the field loaded into the starting gate. The strategy was no doubt for Arcaro to drop Nashua off the early pace while stalking the early leaders and then make that one big run. There were other notable closers in that race, however. Alfred G. Vanderbilt's entry of Find and Social Outcast were both highly capable of making late runs. So, at least in theory, it would become a cat-and-mouse game with rating and judging of pace being most critical. At the break, it was Sailor going out to the front, but Arcaro was forced to let Nashua have a little bit more of his head than he would have liked, since his mount was virtually pulling Arcaro out of the saddle. As it turned out, Nashua stayed head-and-head with Sailor through the early going, and the question became that if that early rapid pace with Nashua's Tom Pimp post of 127 would in the long run take its toll on the crowd favorite. Not only that, but the well-noted closer Fine was right there lurking in third, waiting to pounce. Sailor was the first to succumb to the pressure of the early fractions, and Nashua assumed the lead as the field swung on around the far turn. Fine had not given up the chase and was hanging right with Nashua as they hit the top of the stretch for the final two furlongs. It was Nashua, Fine, and now Social Outcast was making his big run as expected from well off the pace to get up into contention. As they came to the final 16th, it was Nashua hanging tenaciously to the lead, with Arcaro getting everything he could from the strapping colt, then Fine, Sailor, and Social Outcast, who was charging out in the middle of the racetrack, gobbling up huge strides. Nashua stayed on gamely and courageously in front of the wire, barely holding off the flying Social Outcast by a head, with Sailor only another head back and Fine fourth just three heads back, in a classic example of the well-known blanket finish. It was, by any measure, means, or standard, a great horse race indeed. One of the stewards, Cal Rainey, said it had been the very best horse race he had seen in 20 years. That win by Nashua, the big son of Nasrullah out of Segula by Johnstown, put Nashua over the $1 million career earnings mark, and he thereby joined the illustrious Citation as the only other horse up to that day to reach that lofty mark. A blanket finish and a victory for Nashua in the Widener Handicap, February 1956 at Hialeah. A great moment indeed in thoroughbred racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by six black type horses in 2019. From a second crop, three-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Manad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and Historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban!
by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
The Florida Thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida Breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida Breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FDBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Nuclear Codes moved up a spot. He just went past Scarfett down. The trailer is still so sublime midway on the turn. Through a half and 46 and 4. They're into the stretch of 40 factor, trying to hang in there. He's got Liam Lesko on his outside. Nuclear Code up the inside. Nuclear Code put his head in front. Eric Cancel's looking for three. And Nuclear Code starts to draw away through the lane. Liam Lesko chasing him in second, but past the 16th pole. Nuclear Code's going to give Eric Cancel the hat trick on the card. Liam Lesko holds second over Scarfett down. The 40 factor was third. Final time for the 6th furlong was 1:12.4.
We ran 4 days here at Aqueduct last weekend in honor of President's Day. And each and every day, Eric Cancel won 3 races on the card. Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A filling in for the Baron. At the very least, part of that reason that Eric Cancel is riding like a man possessed is the gentleman joining us now. He's done just about everything in this game. And now he finds himself holding a condition book and a red flare marker. You guys still use red flare markers like we used to do in the 90s? PJ Campo, jocks agent for Eric Cancel and Luis Cardenas. PJ, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Good morning, Ant. Thanks for having me.
We still have the condition book and the red felt pen, or we do everything on the iPad now?
We got the condition book. I do a little bit of both. You know, add some technology into it, makes it a little bit easier, but, you know, I don't use the red flare. Not for this.
So, you are one of the rare breeds that remember old school agents, because you were around them in one form or another. You were working in the racing office here as it started out as an entry clerk here at the New York Racing Association. Of course, being around Dad's barn. I was about to say Hall of Famer John Campo. We'll work on that. but, yeah, you know, so you remember the old school. The games, I mean, this is one part of the game that has really, really changed the agent game for me over the last 20 or 25 years.
Yeah, from what I'm seeing, you know, from the first couple months I've been doing it and been very fortunate with Eric hitting the ground running is, you know, everything's done by phone. You know, you're there, you're great, you're present, you talk to the horsemen, you know, you have your clients. Years ago, there was no phones, there was no texting, and, you know, the days of, you know, Bob Freeze and Vic Gilardi and, you know, and those guys that, you know, they were there 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning, and you know, they had their clients, and everything was done in person. So, yeah, the game's definitely changed from that perspective. But, yeah, no, it's been a great run, and we're very happy where things are.
Yeah, and there are plenty of, you know, plenty of it now where it's not even done on site anymore, where a lot of agents will be in a different state or have riders in multiple states. And, like you said, just technology allows that to happen where 20 years ago that would have been impossible.
Yeah, and I, you know, me, you know, I guess from Dad and everything, and, you know, knowing what trainers and horsemen have to go through to get horses ready, I like being there. You know, I like being in the barns, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, my guys breeze horses 3, 4, 5 days a week, and, you know, this morning Eric's breezing five horses this morning, and he's got four to breeze tomorrow lined up. And, you know, you want to get the feedback from them and then point horses to races that are coming up and breeze horses for stakes. And, you know, there's a lot involved that's going on. And I like being in the mix of it. I think certain trainers like the feedback and like you being there, and certain guys just want everything to be done on the phone and don't want to be bothered. So it's just finding the right balance.
The fact that you are able to not only read a condition book, but write a condition book as well, do you think that gives you a big edge on this side of the on this side of the draw?
1,000%. You know, I could tell you what horses are going to what races, and before they even, you know, when the book comes out, and you do your homework. And you know, I think if you're doing the right thing, you know who's showing up and who to go after. And I think some trainers appreciate that, right? You're almost doing the work for them, saying these are the top three that should be going in there. This horse worked out 7 days ago. It looks like he's going to this spot. I mean, workouts tell you everything. Every trainer has a pattern when they're getting a horse ready for a race. So it just shows you a lot if you're paying attention to your breezes, what horses have gone through their conditions, what horses belong where. But being able to write a book and knowing what horse's place is three quarters of the battle. And for me, it's fun. I mean, I've done it for 20-plus years. So, you know, it makes it a little bit easier. And I think trainers really appreciate that because you give them a little bit of help of knowing what they're going to be running against if everything holds true according to the past, what's happening.
What are some of the tactics you use now? You used to call these guys to try to get them to hustle them into a race. Now you're trying to hustle your jock on top of their or jocks on top of their backs. Different tactics?
Now, you know, I think you build your clientele, right? You have the guys that you like to ride for, and you slowly, surely build that. And, you know, if you think you can move another jock off a horse because he gave a bad ride or maybe he's not riding so well, you know, you speak to the guy. You know, I like to ride the horse back. If a horse gets claimed and he's a client of yours that maybe is not with the old rider, then you might get in with that horse. If it's first-time starters that you're breezing in the morning, you know, you stay with those type of horses. So I think, you know, for different types of horses and categories, it just depends on kind of how the chips fall. But it's just building a clientele base. And I've been fortunate where, you know, working in New York 16 years and growing up in the barn area at Belmont Park at Aqueduct, you know, it gave me a little bit. Everyone was so welcoming when I came back in December, and you know, after I took the summer off, and it was great. They just gave the kid an opportunity, and Eric's made the most of it, for sure.
So let's talk about Eric Cancel for a minute. Eric Cancel is a rider that I think a lot of people always felt had talent. I think a lot of people, including myself, you know, I don't pull punches, especially with you. I know we know each other since we're 7, 8 years old, who was underachieving. You come in. He was underachieving. I mean, there's no way around it. You come in, and I am not going to say this is all you, because I don't believe that an agent can just do what's going on. What has gotten in to Eric Cancel? Because I think now he's not only living up to expectations or what a lot of people thought he could be. I think he's surpassing them.
Yeah, and I think it's confidence, right? It's getting on the right horses. It's confidence building. It's knowing he has the ability to do it. It's not just breezing horses in the morning. Now it's being able to breeze in the morning and ride them in the afternoon, right? And the horsemen and the trainers having confidence in him going out in the afternoon and performing and winning. You know, and, you know, listen, to be honest with you, we won three races in 4 days, and we won two races before that and two races the next day. So, you know, we won 16 races in 5 days. That's tough to do. All the chips have to fall in the right direction. And, you know, to be able to win four, you know, across the board for Gary Gullah, Mike Tenuzzo, and Chad Brown, and Tom Pletcher, and Linda Rice, and Bruce Brown, you know, we're 3-for-4 for Bruce Brown. You know, we've ridden four horses for him, we win three. So, you know, Gary Gullah's given us a big opportunity. Mike Tenuzzo's given us. So it's having the broad range of clients. And Eric will ride an eight-claimer for Dominic Schettino like it's the Kentucky Derby. Or Dave Tenuzzo yesterday, he rode a 10-year-old Mills. And, you know, he rode him like it was the Kentucky Derby. And I love that. I love the confidence that he's riding with right now. And I think he feels it too. So we make a great team. And, you know, he's a young guy. I think he's 23 years old, and he's got a bright future ahead of him. So hopefully we can just, you know, keep it going and keep our clientele building as we proceed through the spring and summer.
Yeah, the ride yesterday on Mills, and there was a ride earlier on Sweet Meadow Mist for Charlie Baker, where he knifed through the field, and it was just a brilliant, brilliant ride. And it was one of those rides where you're like, you know, it looks like something's changed here. And I do think you're a big part of it. I think you know, I'm not saying he wasn't getting on the right horses, but I think you've probably motivated him. And like you said, confidence is very important. And in fact, you've picked up a second rider now, Luis Cardenas, who's on the shelf a little bit. Give us an update on him if you can. But, man, talk about a kid who really looks like he's got all of the right tools, and he's still a 7-pound buck.
Yeah, he's exciting. I mean, he went 5 races in less than a month, and, you know, he's got his double bug, and he's been out for a little bit. He hurt his hand breezing a horse. Horse saddle slipped. Luckily, it was nothing major. He hurt his hand, so he'll be out probably through the end of this condition book and be back for the next condition book second week of March, so not a big deal. You know, for a bug, it's useful because when he gets hurt, he loses back to the end of his bug, which right now will take him to like the middle to end of February, which is great for him. But he's a young up-and-coming star. Like you said, he's got all the tools. He's very patient. Horses run for him. He's got a good pair of hands, and he's such a gentleman. What a good kid. He's 22 years old. The people love him. Trainers love him, and he listens, and he's a pleasure to work with. And, you know, having both him and Eric, they're good young men that are up and coming, and it's exciting to be part of their journey and where they want to go. And they're hardworking kids. I say kids, but they're hardworking guys that really love and are passionate about the sport. And, you know, Louis's only been riding for 2 months, and, you know, I think he's ninth in the standings, and he's got 9 or 10 wins, and, you know, I think he loves the game, the kid. So hopefully we can get him back healthy quickly, and he's got a bright, bright year ahead of him.
You remember when they used to call us the kids?
Yeah, exactly. Many moons ago.
Now we're gray beards. I know, and you know, exactly. We say kids, but, you know, they have the whole world's ahead of them. Their entire futures
are
still ahead of them, young guys. Yeah. I mean, and they're both riding really, really well. You've done a great job. I don't think anybody was surprised that you'd be able to come on the other side of the wall, as they sounds like Game of Thrones now, but you came on the other side of the wall again. What was your first job in racing? I got to imagine it was like me, just helping Dad around the barn, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, running under a stall wagon at 5 years old and in the barn, you know, and then, you know, went through and saw what, you know, Pop was going through, and Pop got sick when I was in college, and, you know, working in the barn area, and I give horsemen and trainers and owners, people that are there 7 days a week, 24/7, that live with those horses, they do an unbelievable job, and it's a tough job. It's a grind, and I just, something when I went to school I didn't want to do. And I wound up interning at NYRA my junior and senior year at college, got an accounting degree, and got offered a job right out of school, and was with NYRA 16 years and kind of worked myself up the ladder and just learned a ton through the years.
I don't think I ever knew you had an accounting degree.
Yeah, I have an accounting degree at Siena College, a minor in finance. So, yeah, it's actually been very helpful through my career, you know, dealing with purse accounts and budgets and, you know, all the things that you have to do. I was very fortunate to have that degree, and I learned, you know, how to do those things. It just came very easy for me. So it was definitely a leg up in that area.
No, like I said, PJ, nobody's surprised that you're doing well at your first try being a jocks agent. Eric Cancel, and hopefully the soon returning Louis Cardenas working wonders here at the Big A. Continued success. We'll see you later on.
I appreciate it. Have a great day. Thank you.
All right. You got it. PJ Campo. And PJ, like all of our guests, will get a gift card from Embrace the Race for the horse racing fan in your life, for yourself. Embrace your passion over at embracetherace.com. Pontiffcast.com. We'll take a break when we return. The Pontiff, Jude Feld, returns to the airwaves to talk about the one and only AP Indy. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti. A precocious Group 1 winner as a two-year-old and a three-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4/5, recording a 1:14 buyer speed figure. Caraconti possesses a strong Stormcat male line and hails from a top female family, which includes the hugely influential champion Miask as his third dam. The only second crop sire with graded stakes winners on dirt and turf, Caraconti's first crop of three-year-olds includes Sol Volante, winner of the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis Stakes, and undefeated colt Kenzai Warrior, who was pointed to the Group 1 English 2000 Guineas. Value priced at just $10,000, Caraconti gets the gold according to Chris McGrath's Value Podium in the TDN. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caraconti at Gainesway.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And what a classy filly this one is. Hard Not to Love will absolutely dominate the Santa Monica as she wins by four easy lengths.
Well, if her impressive win in the Grade 2 Santa Monica Handicap last weekend is any indication, Hardspun's Grade 1 La Brea winner, Hard Not to Love, looks like she's going to be among the nation's top female sprinters this year, and that scintillating victory makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hardspun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion before him. Hard Not to Love was one of three three-year-old Grade 1 winners on dirt for Hardspun last year. The only stallion to sire more in a single year was the great Mr. Prospector over three decades ago. Learn more about Hardspun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
AP Indy's in an all-out drive, and Pleasant Tap is coming with giant strides on the inside. They're coming to the finish. It is AP Indy in front. Pleasant Tap, one last run at him. AP Indy wins the Breeders' Cup Classic by three conclusive lengths. And then it was Pleasant Tap finishing second, and Jolifa was third, and the time was 2 minutes and a fifth. AP Indy, the Belmont Stakes winner, comes charging through the stretch here. He was up close, then he dropped out of it and came on like a tiger to win the world's richest race.
The incomparable Tom Durkin on the call of the 1992 Breeders' Cup Classic. AP Indy scorched them down at Gulfstream Park. Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence here on HRRN. Back in 2012, during our Breeders' Cup broadcast, the 20-year anniversary of AP Indy's classic victory, the entire team here at the Horse Racing Radio Network put together a fantastic vignette on one of the most influential racehorses in the last three decades. And take a listen to that vignette from our 2012 Breeders' Cup coverage.
by Triple Crown champion Seattle Slough from the mare Weekend Surprise, a daughter of Triple Crown winner Secretariat, AP Indy was bred for greatness. He was sold at Keeneland by his breeders Will Farish and Bill Kilroy for $2.9 million, the highest price yearling of his crop. Patiently handled by Hall of Fame trainer Neil Drysdale, AP Indy lived up to his pedigree on the racetrack, winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Futurity in his first ever stakes try. His popular victory in the 1992 Santa Anita Derby made him a major contender for the Triple Crown.
Here they come for the Santa Anita Derby. Bertrando at the rail, Casual Lies, AP Indy on the outside, and then Hickman Creek. Homeward bound now, and here comes AP Indy on the grandstand side to take on Bertrando, and Casual Lies running a great race between horses, but AP Indy has the lead with 100 yards to run. AP Indy and Eddie Dollar, who plays fast, and Damien Ascendancy and Paul Keir, and AP Indy is on his way to the Kentucky Derby with a big win in the Santa Anita Derby.
A bruised foot kept AP Indy out of the Kentucky Derby, but he returned to win the Peter Pan and then dispatched Preakness winner Pine Bluff in the Belmont Stakes. It was his Breeders' Cup Classic victory over older horses at Gulfstream Park that catapulted him to Horse of the Year honors as he tied the stakes record set by the Great Sunday Silence.
AP Indy is finding his best stride, and he's moving powerfully in between horses as they move toward the top of the stretch in this ninth Breeders' Cup Classic defensive play. And the rail is still there. AP Indy's in an all-out drive, and Pleasant Tap is coming with giant strides on the inside. They're coming to the finish. It is AP Indy in front. Pleasant Tap, one last run at him. AP Indy wins the Breeders' Cup Classic by three conclusive lengths.
As good as AP Indy was on the racetrack, he was even more brilliant in the breeding shed. He sired Horse of the Year Mineshaft, champions Bernardini, Rags to Riches, Marchfield, Tempera, Eye of the Leopard, Serenading, Catch the Thrill, and Festival of Light. With over 140 stakes winners to his credit, the winners of more than 2,000 races, and the earners of $120 million, there is no doubt that AP Indy is one of the most influential thoroughbreds who ever lived. Deservedly elected to Racing's Hall of Fame in 2000, he retired from stud duty in 2011 and now enjoys a life of leisure at Lane's End Farm in Versailles, Kentucky.
Wonderful job by everyone here at HRN. Of course, yesterday, AP Indy passed away at the ripe old age of 31. The man who wrote and voiced that vignette, Pontiff Jute Fell, joins us now just for a few moments to talk about the late, great AP Indy. Jude, thanks for a few minutes this morning.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here. He was a sensational horse and brought joy to a lot of people. Anybody that was on social media yesterday and even this morning can see how many fans he had across the country.
Yeah, I remember the morning he was scratched from the Derby. I was here at Aqueduct, and so many people were disappointed. And he just came back, and that 1992 was a little bit of a roller coaster year for him, but a big win in the Belmont Stakes. I remember Tom Durkin's call. The response is definite. AP Indy, when he surged to the lead coming off the far turn over at Belmont Park, and then just a big year. The rare California horse that us East Coasters did not mind rooting for.
Yeah. Well, he was a cool horse, you know. He went into the Santa Anita Derby on a four-race winning streak, and a lot of people on social media credited him with their love of thoroughbred racing. He was a horse that captured a lot of people's hearts right away. He was a big, imposing, good-looking horse and real tough. I mean, it was funny how Eddie D used to kind of let him fall out of the race a little bit, and then he'd come flying at the end, and people love closers. So there were a lot of things to like about AP Indy, but his running style and his personality were amongst his greatest traits.
Yeah, he was something. And then the influence in the breeding shed. I can't think of anyone. T.S., I was reading the story again, and Frank Angst did a great job over at Blood Horses. He always does. He has 29 sons standing at stud currently. I mean, is that not remarkable?
Yeah, Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because for a while people were saying, oh, you know, he's not that good of a stud. He's not that good of a broodmare sire, blah, 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 blah. Well, he proved them all wrong in the end. He's been sensational, and he's going to carry on for a long time. His blood's going to be in a lot of pedigrees for many years to come.
Yeah. Do you have one standout memory of him?
That San Anita Derby? It wasn't a race memory. I was actually asked to do a little handicapping seminar. It was a $200,000 a plate dinner for George W. Bush's campaign, and my son Miles was with me, and we went out to Lane's End, and I remember Ambassador Farish actually walking him around the walking ring for the people that had come to this very expensive dinner, and it was such a cool moment to see Ambassador Farish walking AP Indy, and whenever somebody mentions AP Indy, that's the first thing that flashes in my head.
It's a great memory. Sports allowed us to have a lot of good ones, and he was a good one. Jude, thanks for some time this morning. We'll talk to you down the line.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. One and only Jude Feld reminiscing on the late, great AP Indy. Sensational way to wrap hour number one. Hour two kicks off right after this. Pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming. Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One wheel. Looked impossible.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
On the inside, unaccounted for. On the outside, Sullivan Manor. And here he is, the incomparable, invincible, unbeatable Cigar.
And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Foal is finally the one. American Foal has won the Triple Crown.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Getting underway now. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. High atop the finish line at the Big A Aqueduct Racetrack in South Ozone Park, New York. I am filling in for the vacationing Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. Our producer, Lee Delapina, is down in our Lexington studios. Thanks to Darren Fox, PJ Campo, and Jude Feld for joining us in hour number one. Fun hour number two coming up. Romero Mirage, we're going to replay his interview from yesterday's edition of Red Brand Radio. He talks about everything from his move up to the Big Apple, as well as that year off he had after the horrific spill last season. Wise beyond his years is the 19-year-old Romero Mirage. Of course, cousin to our good friend here at HRN, Rajiv Mirage. I'm going to try and give you some winners in the late pick five here at Aqueduct today, as there is a $79,000 plus carryover going into that late pick five. But we'll kick things off with one of my favorite racing people. And she just also happens to be the president of the Belmont Child Care Association, an organization that is near and dear to my heart. My dad was able to go out and hustle, and mom was able to stay home and raise my sister and I. And a lot of people in this game, especially in this day and age, are not afforded that luxury. Both parents have to work. Single moms, single dads, they have to work. And Thank God for the BCCA and Anna House, and the president, Libby Imperio, joins us now. Libby, welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. The pleasure is all mine, Libby. Give us a little, for those of us that don't know, for those of them out there in HRN that don't know, give us a little overview of what we do over at the BCCA.
Well, the Belmont Child Care is a early learning daycare center for the children of the backstretch, which means the workers of trainers and owners, hot walkers, grooms, exercise riders. We're open 365 days a year at 5 o'clock in the morning. We take babies starting at 6 weeks old until they graduate and go to kindergarten. We recently started a school-age program, so once our children enter the school, the public school system, on their days off and vacations, they can return to Anna House and have a structured program for them so that they're not just staying home by themselves. We've also begun a women's literacy program for the moms and the women of the backstretch, helping them learn English, read and write English. And we're very excited about all of our programs.
Yeah, always something going on over at the over at BCCA
always
and over at Anna House. Always something going on. Some of my favorite mornings spent reading to the kids during story time. I got to bring Mr. Pine's Mixed Up Signs, my favorite childhood book, over last time. And when you, again, when you've grown up at the racetrack like I have and, you know, didn't have this, just we didn't have this. And I have a lot of friends that I've made that I made when I was 2, 3, 4 years old, the guys I'm still friends with and a couple of gals that I'm still friends with to this day. When you are on the track, you realize just how what you do over at what we do over at BCCA impacts from the kids to the parents. It's just it's remarkable. Going on 17 years now, is that correct?
That is correct. And you know, I think the most important thing for people to know and understand is while everybody considers horse racing the sport of kings, there is tremendous poverty as well within all the tracks nationwide. And you don't have to go out to other countries to help fight poverty. You can do it right here in your backyard. And that's one of the things we're really trying to help with our families, and to try to provide them and their children with the best possible tools for a future, for a profitable future and a great education. And we've just had amazing donors, and it's just been an incredible situation, and I'm really proud of it. And we're building a new facility in Saratoga that will open in 2021 to help the families during the racing season up in Saratoga. And we're just moving and grooving and just really excited.
All right, so how we build this place and how we keep Anna House and the BCCA going is money, like everybody.
Money.
We all could use some money. Yes, we all need money. That's how it works. Some people like to play the late pick five with their money. I'm raising my hand. Some people like to donate their money. Some people like to hit the late pick five so they can donate their money. I like to do both. But a multitude of ways via fundraisers. Of course, you could always go to BelmontChildCare.org and just hit the donate button. But there are plenty of ways to do more and have some fun in the process. And we have four events lined up from March through August. And there's literally this year, it's an Aqueduct of Belmont, a couple of Belmonts and a Saratoga.
Yes. You know, this is our biggest fundraising time of the year, spring and summer. We're doing a new event this year at the TWA Hotel at JFK Airport. And that's going to be on March 18th from 6:30 to 8:30. It's a private event. Space is limited, but tickets are still available at BelmontChildCare.org. The event is from 6:30 to 8:30, and it's cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. We're having a Kentucky Derby party at the Walk Street Cafe in Garden City on May 2nd from 4 to 7. Our second biggest event of the year is our Spring Fling Ladies Hat Luncheon and Fashion Presentation at the Garden City Hotel. This year we're honoring Erin King Sweeney, who is a former councilwoman of Hempstead, also the daughter of Representative Peter King, and Angela Jagger of the Jagger Foundation. We are having our fashion show sponsored by Lafayette 148, which is a new sponsor for us, and they're an amazing clothing line. And, of course, not to be forgotten, in Saratoga, our Racing for the Children dinner and auction. And the theme this year is Where the Wild Things Are. We're in Saratoga at the Saratoga National Golf Club on August 27th. So lots of things happening.
And I just want to make sure, yeah, lots going on. And that the new TWA Hotel, it's really cool vibe. It's a 60s vibe. They actually have, for the lack of a better term, actors walking around in the old 60s garb. And literally, you have a vibe like you're going back 50 years.
I haven't had the chance to be there, but I had a lot of friends who have already been there, and they said it's just really one of the coolest places. So we're excited. It should be a fun event, and it's nice and easy. It's 6:30 to 8:30, and it's just cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, and just a fun night.
And I'm just going over my notes here. I'm walking in the fashion show on May 28th, right?
Oh, sure. I don't know if they make men's clothing, but I'll find something for you for sure.
All kidding aside,
I can't wait to see
you guys over there.
Front.
I mean, I have a you know I have one. You know I absolutely
I
have
know.
One. we'd be remiss if we didn't. You know, obviously you, Michael Dubb, Rachel Battle, Executive Director Joanne Adams, and Trisha O'Grady.
Yeah.
If people knew exactly what you guys and gals did over there on a regular basis, and how many people you have helped, and we have, like you said, you know, we go all the way from it goes all the way down from the you know hot walkers and grooms and people who could really barely can afford the child care, and it's a sliding scale all the way to Grace Morley. Tom and Maggie's son, daughter. So
yes.
It's everyone.
And
you know, and we have some...
Hopefully soon, little Willow Morley.
Yep. Yep, Willow Morley, I'm sure, will be there sooner rather than later. And everybody's so hands-on. And, you know, you never walk in, and two or three of you are always there. And I think, you know... It's in a day and age where, and I am not taking anything away from the aftercare, but it's part of the reason why, for me, it's old friends and rerun, and it's BCCA, because you not only want to help our old retired warriors on the racetrack, but we have to get the next batch generation of industry folks, right, ready, and that's what we do over at BCCA.
Well, we really do, and at the end of the day, the one thing I always like to say is education is freedom, and by starting education so young in children's lives, by the time they reach the public school system, they are on par, if not above, of every other child going in the system, which is really amazing. And we've had a lot of students of the year, and we've had some musicians and artists and just great kids that went on to the public school system and really flourished. I like to say that our building that's located on Belmont Park's race backstretch is really, I consider, one of the happiest places in racing. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's fun. It has just a sense of safety and home and familiarity for our children. It was built by Michael Dubb, who will also be building the new facility in Saratoga. And it's a great place to come and visit, and we encourage all visitors. And we, as you participated in, we have a new program of story time that we've had some guest readers come in and read story time to our pre-K kids and our toddlers. And we've had Abby and Javier Castellano, yourself, Ray Luke Gutierrez. I know that Tracy and Todd Pletcher are soon to be coming. And it's exciting, and we hope anybody who wants to participate would come by and see us.
So, yeah, you can donate. You can buy tickets to all the events. You can reach out to us over at BCCA at BelmontChildCare.org. And, yeah, we hope to hear from you.
There's no donation that's too small. A $10 donation is just as helpful to us as any larger sum donation. So the more $10 donations we get, they add up, and they help us provide diapers and books and school trips and, you know, the snack time. And there's no donation too small.
Libby Imperio, thank you for everything you do. Am I seeing you later?
Tomorrow. have a few things in my own life I have to take care of today.
Yeah, I'm sure you just don't want to come out and give any of your opinions on the late pick five. You're going to stay home and just play it alone and
no,
try and hit it by yourself. That's fine.
My husband.
That's all right. We'll see you tomorrow.
Job. See you tomorrow. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Libby. Libby Imperio, president of the Belmont Child Care Association. Again, you can donate and you can buy tickets to all of our events over at BelmontChildCare.org. Right now, it's time for the Bloodhorse News Update. And look at the top headlines from Bloodhorse.com. Cox Eyes Oaklawn Handicap with Warriors Charge. Razorback Handicap winner of Grade 3. Warriors Charge returned to training February 21st at Oaklawn Park to begin preparations for his next major local target, the Grade 2 $1 million Oaklawn Handicap for older horses at a mile and an eighth on April 18th. Whether the bulk of the preparations is at Oaklawn or Fairgrounds, where trainer Brad Cox keeps his main divisions, remains to be seen. In his four-year-old debut in the February 17th Razorback at Oaklawn, Warriors Charge recorded his biggest victory in front-running fashion under Florent Giroux, turning back a bit from Bankett to win by a head. He entered the race off a December 18th allowance optional claiming win at Fairgrounds after being away since a fourth-place finish in the Grade 1 Preakness Stakes. Mile and a 16th Razorback was a replay of the Colts' previous three victories as Warriors Charge led at every point of call after being hustled from the gate. He scored two powerful victories last year at Oaklawn, breaking his maiden by 6 lengths, clearing his first allowance condition by 6.5 lengths. I don't think he has to be on the lead, said Cox, who trains the son of Munnings for 10-strike racing in Mattacat Stables. I think he can sit off horses. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Bloodhorse News Update. Don't miss any coverage of three-year-old Derby prep races and other races around the country like only Bloodhorse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Bloodhorse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. They're both free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily for weekly coverage, including the feature stories on the horses and people in our sport. Count on the industry's only weekly publication. That's Bloodhorse Magazine. That's also available for your tablet. You can download the tablet edition today from the App Store or Google Play, or sign up at subscribe.bloodhorse.com. If you haven't taken a look at Bloodhorse Magazine recently, you owe it to yourself to do so and see what you've been missing. They've been serving the industry for more than 100 years. It's the Bloodhorse. Time for another break. When we return, you'll hear Romero Mirage interview from yesterday's edition of Red Brand Radio in its entirety. And speaking of Red Brand Fence, this is the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
The Florida Thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida Breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida Breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
Time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the Speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Ironicus. This graded stakes-winning millionaire defeated over 20 Grade 1 winners, including Canadian Champion and Horse of the Year Up with the Birds. A Grade 2 winner and course record setter at Saratoga, he won three graded stakes and was runner-up in multiple Grade 1 events. His first yearlings have sold for over seven times his stud fee. The leading money earner at stud for emerging Sire of Sires Distorted Humor. Ironicus, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Unanimous champion two-year-old and three-time Grade 1 winner Classic Empire got off to a fantastic start with his first weanlings at the November sales. Averaging over $100,000 from 27 sold, up to eight times his initial $35,000 stud fee. Right on the same cross as champion freshman sire American Pharaoh, Classic Empire's outstanding race record is backed up with a stallion's pedigree. Being from the family of Harlan's Holiday, Ride the Rails, and Bold Nijin. Standing for just $20,000, Classic Empire looks like a serious value for 2020.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, Thoroughbred jockey, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Up front, the battle between Midnight Banker and Any Day Is Her Day. The two of them are heads apart for the lead as they turn into the stretch. Midnight Banker down at the rail. Any Day Is Her Day on the outside. The two of them remain heads apart for the lead. They've got four lengths on Enough Love in third. As they pass the eighth pole, Any Day Is Her Day has taken over from Midnight Banker. Any Day Is Her Day. About to get her maiden victory. Any Day Is Her Day by a little more than two. Midnight Banker held second. Enough Love was third. And New York City Dancer finished fourth.
The voice of the New York Racing Association, John Imbrial, on the call. Romero Mirage made his Aqueduct debut, a winning one. Taking Any Day Is Her Day to the winner's circle for the first time this past Thursday. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Yesterday afternoon on Red Brand Radio, Romero came up after the races, after he was done riding, actually, to talk to us about the big career change and, of course, to come back from a horrific injury last year. And all of these things makes him this week's Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. And here is Romero from yesterday's Red Brand Radio. Nice enough to be joined now by Romero Mirage, who has just moved his tack from Gulfstream Park to the Big A here at Aqueduct and made his presence felt here immediately yesterday afternoon with his first mount, Any Day Is Her Day. Got the money in upset fashion in the opener. Romero, thanks for some time here today on Red Brand Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Welcome, welcome to the winter, my friend.
Oh, so cold.
Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
No, I've never watched Game of
Thrones. Young. What are you, 18?
19.
19.
Yes.
Well, when they say winter is coming, this is winter.
Oh, it's...
You ever experienced... Have you ever experienced anything like this? You've never been up here, right?
Never even seen snow.
Well, let's keep it that way. If you bring snow, me and you are going to fight, my friend. We're going to have a big fight. I love you to death. We're going to fight if you bring snow. We haven't had any. We've had less than 5 inches of snow in New York this winter.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yes. Well,
closest thing I've seen is a snow cone, but that's it.
When we last spoke, we were in Saratoga 2 summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
You would come in. See what was going on. You won a race up at Saratoga, correct?
Yeah, my first race.
So you won your first race at Saratoga.
Yeah.
Now you've won your first race at Aqueduct. It's been a little bit of an interesting journey in between now and then. Why don't you fill everybody in on what happened?
Well, I was doing really good leading up to the injury. You know, I was about fifth in the standings at Gulfstream when I fell, about fifth or sixth. And I had a couple winners and stakes horses coming up, including Maximum Security and A Bit Special. You know, some good horses. But then, you know, life just threw me a curveball, you know, which I learned a lot from the injury. And getting that in, like when I fell, I was 18, and it was just a curveball that a lot of my family was there for. And you really see who's in your corner. And honestly, I've had so much support. It's not like people moved away from me. Like, you know how sometimes people say, oh, when you're down, you see people just moving away from me, but no, it was actually the opposite. I had so much support from everybody, not only my family and friends, but even in the horse racing world, everybody was praying for me. Everybody was just very supportive through everything. And then for me, it felt like I didn't get on a horse since I fell to January. So that was about a year. And that between that time where I didn't get on a horse, the 1 year felt like 10 years, because I love getting on horses regardless if I don't ride them in a race. I love getting on horses, and that year was just, it was a long wait. And then the moment I started getting on horses, it felt like the year went by so fast. And then I got fit very quickly because I prepared myself to get released in November, which I kind of did get released, but I just wanted to make and ensure that my body was 100% to take on racing, where if I do fall, I wouldn't have any pain and I just bounce right back up. So I was already fit by November. So the first day I got on a horse, I was already galloping and jogging. Then the next day I was breezing horses out of the gate like it was nothing. And it just fit right in the moment I sat on a horse again. I didn't feel like I left at all.
Ought to be young again. Have you been able to, you know, we look back on it now, and you've always been, I remember when I came to visit Florida last year, you were one of the first stops I made.
Yeah.
And I came by and
mom made
some scary crab boil. You
oh,
know?
It was so good.
That was some good stuff.
I had a lot of that. Yeah. I was hurt.
Yeah, you did. That's one thing. And like you said, you had a great, I mean, I was moved to tears when I saw how much support you had. You had all the boys there playing FIFA soccer with you.
Yeah.
And your girlfriend Acacia, who's here with you now as well, she was there with you through the whole thing, and your mother Junie. I mean, we
can't get remiss. Any better
you
that.
Can't get any better than Junie, especially if you're going to make crab boil like that.
Yeah.
You had a great support group, and you've always been very forgiving of the injury. Are you able to watch the race when you went down? Have you been able to go back and look?
Yeah, I've watched it many times. I actually wanted to see the head-on, but I don't know where to get it. But for me, it's nothing, because it's just I had the mentality going into the game that that's something that can happen. I've seen it happen to plenty of members of my family, including Rajiv. You know,
yeah.
So it's something that I always knew that could have happened, but I don't keep that in the back of my mind because that'll just help me ride scared. And I don't know, people call me crazy, but now I just feel like I just went through the worst. So what is there to be scared of? You know, I'm 19 now. I'm young and dumb, so I'm ready to to take on anything, you know?
When you have someone like Rajiv, and I know you guys, your cousins, you're very, very close. The whole family's very close. You and Rajiv are very close. When you're getting better, how much are you relying on his experience and his mentoring through that time? How much did you rely on Rajiv?
Oh, I relied on him a whole lot because he would just, like, I would talk to him very often. We'd be on PlayStation and we talk a lot, you know, especially not the physical part, because honestly, after I fell and I did the surgery, after I came out the hospital, I didn't have to take any medication.
You were in
all.
Great shape. You were in the brace, but you were getting around good. You were in pretty good shape when I came over, and that was back in, it was this week.
Yeah.
In February of last year. I think next Wednesday is like the 1 year anniversary. I was down there seeing you. You were getting around. I remarked to you, I said, I can't believe how well you're getting around.
Yeah, my surgeon did a phenomenal job, but Rajiv mostly helped me, especially with the mental part, because, you know, it was just like the first 3 weeks, a month was kind of difficult, not in the sense that I couldn't ride, but it just felt like a dream. When I remember I was in the hospital, I woke up, it's like I fell and I woke up in the hospital and I was like, yeah, it's a dream. I don't care. I asked my surgeon. Oh, he said to me, actually, we're going to have to do surgery. And I was like, can we get it done? I fell on the Thursday night and I said, can I get it done tonight? Because I have a bit special running on Sunday in a grade three, which she was the favorite, which she ended up winning. I said, can I do the surgery tonight and ride her on Sunday? So I was like in la la land and it was just
crazy.
That's just how it went. But he was there for me mentally because, I mean, at first it was a little bit hard to take in because, I mean, I'm young and I'm still immature because I am young. Maturity comes with time and experience. But at first, like the first couple months, I was really mad at Paco because him and I, like, we grew up, like, I grew up watching him, you know. Even in Jersey, he flew me down a couple times. But, you know, Rajiv, he really took me through. He said, you can't be mad at Paco. I mean, yeah, things happen in races, but you can't hold a grudge. And which I didn't, you know. I went back and he apologized to me and I just went back and rode with him like it's nothing. And we speak, you know, we say hi to each other. For me, it's just no bad blood, because if I carry that bad blood into the room and into the races, it's just going to cause bad performances and stuff like that. So right now, I actually went up to Paco and I told him, I said, you know, we're not enemies. I said, listen, if something happens in a race, it's over with. What happened a year ago, that's in the past. And right now, it's just, we look on. I have no grudge against you. Things happen and it's just, it is what it is. Just don't think that I'm gonna try and retaliate to that, because I'm not that type of person. I don't want to hurt anybody, because what I just went through, I don't want to wish it on my worst enemy, because it was really bad. So I don't want to retaliate, and I made sure that I just told him that there's no bad blood and we're okay. Because him and I, even after that, now after I said that to him, because when I first started back, he was a little bit timid to talk to me and stuff like that. So I went to him and make sure that he knew that there was no bad blood. It is what it is. You know, I'm over everything. You know, I've matured a lot, and Rajiv has really helped that with me. Like, he's helped me mature a lot, and he actually kind of influenced me to come to New York in a way, and I think it was a good move.
So let's talk about the move. You started riding down at Gulfstream a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I started riding on the 18th or 19th, I believe.
Of January?
Yeah, of January.
We're just a month later. What led to the decision?
Well, I started off okay. I mean, I think I was riding pretty good and just getting some bad horse. I mean, it was a tough time of the meet, which I completely understand. And Rudy, he's always kept in touch with me, and he's a very
Rudy
good
Rodriguez
agent.
Rudy Rodriguez Jr.
Yeah, Rudy yes. Jr. He's always kept in touch with me, and he's a very good agent. So my plan is just, I honestly just don't want to be riding the Florida circuit forever if I come up here. And say when the big guys from down south come up back for the spring in New York, I can ride the Monmouth Parks, or even on weekdays ride the Belmont circuit with them. But I plan on finishing the winter here and then progressing to maybe other tracks. But if I'm doing good, I'll stay here.
You want to stay in the Northeast?
Yeah, in the Northeast.
So this
sure.
is more of a career move. This isn't a you want to establish yourself up here.
Yeah, establish myself and then get the ball rolling. And I know Rudy will work really hard, and he's a great person.
Yeah, he's a great agent. He does a very good job. He has Raylu Gutierrez currently, and with your work ethic, I know we're doing this on Friday because you have too many to get on Saturday morning. So
yeah.
You're listening to this on Saturday morning. Romero's working his tail off as usual. You mentioned maximum security. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine there was a gamut of emotions that were running through your brain as he was running roughshod over everything down in Florida after your injury, all the way through finishing first in the Kentucky Derby. I know the answer, but I have to ask the question. How hard were you rooting for him through those races and on Kentucky Derby?
Oh, I was rooting for him so much. You know, I don't want to be biased towards any trainers, but I rode that horse. You know, he's a good horse. And
what's that like? So young to you were just turned 18 when you rode him, right?
Yeah, I was 18 when I rode him, and it was just the first time I went on him for 16. I went back to the barn the next morning. It was kind of funny because I said to Jason, "Thank you so much for that hang on. That horse is a stakes horse." He said to me, "Don't ever do that again." And I thought he was like, "Don't ever do that again. You won by too far." And I was like, I started laughing because I thought he was playing with me. And then I realized that he wasn't playing. And he said, "Don't win by too far on my horses." You know, that's what he said to me. But then I said, "You know, Jason, I think this horse is a stakes horse, might be a graded stake horse." And he said, "You really think so?" And then Walter, he's like kicking me to stop talking. And then when we leave the barn, Walter was my agent, by the way. And then when we left the barn, Walter and I was talking, and Walter was really upset at me. He said, are you an idiot for saying that that horse is a stake horse? He just won for 16. And I also said to Jason, that horse that won for 16 also won on a horse for him that same week for Maiden Special. I said that horse, and they both won by 10. So I said that horse that won for 16 is way better than the horse that won for Maiden Special. And Walter just gave it to me after that.
He should have given it to you. But listen, I'm sure as much as you remember that story, I'm sure Jason Service is going to remember that story, knowing that you were wiser beyond your years to, wow, what did you think of the DQ? Put your emotions aside. What did you think of the DQ?
It could have went either way, you know, but it's just a tough decision, you know. It's tough. You know, it's just tough. There was no inquiry. It was tough. It could have went either way, but I know that he's the best horse for sure. He's just tremendous, and the more that you ask is the more that you give. Like, I don't know if everyone watches his races, but whenever horses come to him, you'll be like, oh, he's dead. They're going to get by him for sure. But then his ears are pricked up, and then when he sees the other horses, he just fires again, and that's how he's always been. And I can see what Louis said. When he sees something, he spooks, because when I rode him second time out, we were going into the gate, and the pony handed him off to the gate guy, and then he kind of reared and wheeled with me, and then I hung off the side saying to myself, this horse cannot get loose or it cannot scratch. It's a 1-5 for Jason Service. And I end up winning 2 for Jason that day too, including maximum security.
Wow. I never knew that. I didn't know he acted up second time out.
Yeah, he just kind of got spooked, you know. So when I see that happen in the Derby, I can see what Louis saying for sure.
What, like you said, your agent now, Rudy Rodriguez, Walter Blum did a fantastic job down in Florida for you. Rudy Rodriguez Jr. has you now up here in New York and in the Northeast. I know Rudy's not afraid to ship out of town as well. Monmouth Parks, like you mentioned. You rode your first winner for Mike?
Yes.
And the crew?
Yes.
Any barns that any trainers, any guys and gals giving you some commitments already? A little bit of a different beast up here than it is down in South Florida, where everybody's known you since you were a little kid.
Yeah, it's pretty different, but the positive from that is that the first impression that they got from me 2 years ago in Saratoga was really great. The first impression that they got here in Aqueduct was really great. It's like New York was bound to be for me, so I have to stay in the Northeast. It's like something that it's just meant to be. That's what I think, because I was going to move here in the end of 2018 before I stayed in Gulfstream, and then I decided to stay in Gulfstream, and I fell, and then I got the opportunity to come back, and I was like, you know what, this must be a sign. I have to go up north.
Well, you made a great first impression, both on the track and off the track. You are mature beyond your years. Don't think you're not allowed to call yourself immature anymore, my friend.
Thank you.
You're mature beyond your years, and we wish you nothing but success here in the Big Apple. And in the entire, I'm the Big A, so I can speak for the entire Northeast. I'm glad I have a Mirage up here this winter. I was going through Mirage withdrawal. I mean, he just up and left me.
You're a Mirage sick.
I'm Mirage sick, exactly. Yeah. Romero, best of luck.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you here day in and day out.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
All right, the one and only Romero Mirage. How long have you bug until?
Well, I have it right now, supposedly until the second week of May, but I'm going to speak to the state stewards in Gulfstream to see if I can get an extension because of the length of time that I was out for, so... And many people have told me that I can get an extension,
yeah,
so
sure.
I'm going to try to get the extension for sure because that I know will help me a lot.
Excellent. Very good. All right, buddy. Best of luck.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Romero Mirage, nice enough to join us yesterday. And like all of our other guests, including Libby Imperio, Romero and Libby will both get Embrace the Race swag. Embrace your passion over and embrace the race dot. We'll take a break when we come back. Calling All 3-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift, Bobby Newman. We'll hear from Brent Elliott over at Four Roses, and we'll try and hit the late pick five here at the Big A this afternoon. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Gio Ponti, a three-time Eclipse Award winner.
Gio Ponti adds the million to his grade one collection.
Champion older male.
The champion, Gio Ponti, to take the Shadwell Turf Mile for Ramon Dominguez.
And two-time champion male turf horse with career earnings over $6 million.
Final 16th of the Shadwell Turf Mile, Gio Ponti, Wise Dan, charging after Get Stormy. Gio Ponti from the outside. How about that? Gio Ponti will go back to the winner's circle.
In 2019, Gio Ponti is the sire of 10 stakes horses and 7 stakes winners from 5.5 furlongs to 12 furlongs, including Grade 2 winner America's Tail, Grade 3 winner Gucci Factor, and stakes winners Long Runner, Dubini, Giovanna Blues, and Olympic Runner. In addition, Gio Ponti has produced champion sprinter and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong and $1 million Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
The Florida thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FDBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
Fans, join us for great racing and much more this weekend at Spectacular Santa Anita. On Saturday, fillies and mares will go 1 mile on turf in the Grade 2 $200,000 Buena Vista. We've also got our $500 betting challenge. You can compete for prizes, including entry into the Ultimate Betting Championship on March 7th and next year's NHC. As always, we've got free infield general admission and parking via Gate 6 off of Colorado Place. First post time on Saturday and Sunday is at 12:30, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value. A world-class setting.
Adina Springs bred, raced, and developed Awesome Again and Ghost Sapper into important stallions. Now comes Ghost Sapper's best son, Shaman Ghost, bred, raced, and backed by the strength of Adina. A Hall of Fame runner like his sire and grandsire, Shaman Ghost captured the classic Queen's Plate at 3 en route to his Sovereign Award Championship. At ages 4 and 5, Shaman Ghost made cross-country history as the only horse in the past 30 years to capture both the Woodward Stakes and Santa Anita Handicap.
Shaman Ghost! He has won the Woodward!
It's Shaman Ghost!
an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
Shaman Ghost would go on to earn over $3.8 million with repeated success at the highest level. Additional graded wins include the Grade 2 Brooklyn Invitational, the Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special, before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome, went second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Ghost Sapper's best son, Shaman Ghost, standing at Edina Springs, Kentucky. Look for his fantastic first yearlings at the sales in 2020.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Mr. Buff continues to lead here. The lead's a length and a quarter. Laytoni in second, and Stan the Man. Three quarters winning 1:11.3 as they come for the top of the stretch. It is Mr. Buff with the lead. Backside of the Moon is coming through now down on the inside. Then Laytoni and Stan the Man, and they're at the eighth pole. Mr. Buff is all out and in front by three. Backside of the Moon races in second, now a 16th to the finish, and it is Mr. Buff who's got it wrapped up in the Jazzle Stakes. Mr. Buff, a front-running score. And it turned out to be close for second between Backside of the Moon and Adventist, who was way out of it and came on late.
Back-to-back Jazzles for Mr. Buff. Back with the State Reds today in the Haynes Field. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. The Big A filling in for the Baron. Before we get to a little late pick five talk here at the Big A today, 70 days until Kentucky Derby 146. Bobby Newman is calling all three-year-olds right now. It's presented by Spendthrift.
They're all in line. And they're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All Three-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
Four major stakes for the three-year-olds last weekend. Let's start at Fairgrounds with two divisions of the Risen Star, each worth 85 Derby points, including 50 to the winners. In the first division, Mr. Monomoy took the lead immediately, set a slow pace, and had plenty left to pull away in the stretch over Enforceable and Silver State. Final time for the mile and an eighth was 1:50.2. About 35 minutes later, the Bill Mott-trained Modernist attended the pace throughout, shook clear at the top of the stretch, and held on to win by a length over the oncoming Major Fed. Final time for Division 2 was 1:51.1. Neither of the final times was eye-popping, but Flight 1 seemed like the stronger of the two heats. Expect to see many of these back for the Louisiana Derby on March 21st, although both Mr. Monomoy and Modernist should have enough points already to get into the Kentucky Derby field. Golden Gate featured the El Camino Real Derby last Saturday with 10 Derby points going to the winner. Azul Coast shipped up from his home base at Santa Anita and grinded out the hard-fought win as the 6-5 choice. Bob Baffert has several talented three-year-olds in his barn once again this year, and he'll be struggling to keep them apart on their way to Louisville. He mentioned the Sunland Derby on March 22nd as a possibility for Azul Coast's next start, and that race offers 50 Derby points to the winner. Oaklawn Park held the Southwest Stakes Monday, and the Steve Asmussen trainee Silver Prospector got a great trip, saving ground and covered up behind the early speed. He swung into action at the top of the lane and powered by frontrunner Wells Bayou to win the race and earn the 10 valuable Derby points. It was a great effort from both the top two finishers, who were well clear of the others. Final time was solid too, a mile and a 16th and 1:43 flat. The Derby Trail heads overseas this week with the Hyacinth Stakes in Japan tomorrow and the Patton Stakes in Ireland next Friday. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Lord Nelson, one of only three sprinters last decade to win three Grade Ones in a single year, along with champions Run Happy and Mitoli. His three consecutive Grade One victories included a stakes record performance in 1:07.3 in Del Mar's historic Bing Crosby Stakes.
Lord Nelson, a dominating performance, easy in the Bing Crosby.
An unrivaled blend of elite speed and pedigree. Lord Nelson, Pulpit's last great son. Look for his first yearling selling this summer. Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Number 1,000 words, undefeated for trainer Bob Baffert, TBA regarding his next start. Number 2, Dennis's moment. We should see him next Saturday in the Fountain of Youth. Number 3, authentic, impressive winner of the Sham Stakes, either the San Felipe or the Rebel for his next start. Numbers 4 and 5, the 2-1 finishers in the Sam F. Davis, Independence Hall, and Sole Volante. That's your Calling All 3-Year-Old segment, presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Thanks to Spendthrift and Bobby Newman for calling all 3-year-olds. He'll be back next week. Points races resume. Been talking about this late pick 5 carryover for $79,000 at Aqueduct today. We have a couple of minutes, just a couple of minutes, to go over some of the races on the card. It starts in race 5, 3:20 post time for the 5th. I'm using the 4, 5, 6, and 7. Top pick's going to be Prater Natural, who needed the race, I think, off the layoff, going 6 last time. Gets back to a dry track and gets 6.5 furlongs for Dominic Scatino. Gets a rider change to the red-hot Eric Cancel. I'm going to use the 4, 5, 6, and 7 to kick it off. Race number 6. And if we go dead in the pick 5, we could always come back with the late pick 4. More often than not, when those big carryovers come, the pick 4 pool is pretty juicy as well, so I'll probably get involved either way. I love betting horses that were tips right back. A Vow of Beauty was a tip first time out. Going to get a fast track, going to stretch out to a mile, going to get blinkers on today. Gets a rider change to Dylan Davis for Charlie Baker, whose barn is going a little cold right now. You got to use that one. You got to use Jerry the Nipper, who beat A Vow of Beauty last time out. Maybe some ones, ain't it funky now. The 2, Farragut, gets a key rider change to Eric as well. Maybe some 3s as well. I'm going to definitely use the 4-5, some 1s and 2s, maybe some 3s as well. That's a spread. For me, race 7's another tough race. Playwright's the horse to beat. He's going to take some beating, definitely using him. Going to take a small shot against him, though, with the 8, Frosted Ice. Third off the layoff, he tried Polytrack first time, mud last time. Stretches out to a mile, going to get a fast track today. Junior Alvarado climbs aboard. I'm going to focus in on the 1 and 8 in there, Playwright and Frosted Ice, and maybe on another ticket use some C's, like the 2, Durkin's Call, the 3, Carthon, and the 4, Joe Smoking Gun. Can spread in all of these races because I am singling Mr. Buff today. I think he's going to go flag falter. That's all in the Haynes Field. If you want to go too deep, Honor Up would be the other place I would land. That's the number 3. And then in the finale, I'm using 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 11. That's a wide open race. I put Dominic Scatino's first. I'm missing the mark on top, but have no real opinion in the race. 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 11. See if we can hit that late pick 5 here at Aqueduct today. And hopefully afterwards can celebrate with some Four Roses bourbon. I think that would be a great idea. And here's Brent Elliott from Four Roses.
Since 1888, Four Roses has been made with the same passion and handcrafted as only they can. And this interview, much like the iconic bourbon, handcrafted by Four Roses. And today I have the privilege of visiting with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller and quality director here at Four Roses. Brent, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for coming out, Mike.
So what is it that makes Four Roses bourbon so unique?
That's a good question. I think and the simple answer is just the taste, the quality. I think we're very proud of what we do here. You know, every Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey has its profile. Every bourbon whiskey that's out there is special in its own right. I feel like ours has its niche. I think it's very, very crisp, very delicate, very smooth, easy to drink. And there are ways we achieve that. We always like to talk about, first, our single-story warehouses that we use. You know, if you look at the aging of bourbon, you always hear that Kentucky is ideal for aging bourbon because the temperature variations. We have very hot summers, very cold winters. So from right there, you realize that temperature plays a fundamental role in how bourbon ages. And if you look at what we do, we have single-story warehouses because that gives us a more consistent temperature variation from the bottom to the top of our warehouses. So when we go to pull barrels out, you know, 5, 6, 10 years after they're put in, we don't have to worry too much about the ones at the top being remarkably different from the ones at the bottom, which there are ways around that. Many distilleries do that. You know, they just create different products depending on what section of the warehouse it came from. But for us, we like them to be consistent so that we don't have to worry too much about the differences. And that's really important because of what I'm going to talk about next. That's another part of our uniqueness is we create different bourbon recipes here. And I don't mean labels. Yes, we have different products. We have the Four Roses Bourbon, the Four Roses Small Batch, and the Single Barrel that you can get on the shelf pretty much anywhere. But each one of those is made with different recipes. And the way we do that is by utilizing different mash bills, which is a grain recipe. Now, both of them use corn, obviously, as the primary grain. They have to be bourbon. We use rye as our secondary or flavoring grain. Gives a lot of nice spice, structure, backbone to the bourbon, and then a small portion of malted barley. So we have two different mash bills or ratios of those grains, both high in rye. One extremely high; it's 35% rye in the mash bill, which is higher than just about any bourbon out there. Probably more than any other major distillery is producing. And then we have the lower rye mash bill, which is 20%. So we start with that foundation. We have two foundations. That is the mash. And then we ferment each one of those, or either one of those, with one of five different yeast strains. Now, all yeast does the same thing. It creates alcohol. That's why it's used. But there's also a small portion of what we refer to as congeners, these other byproducts of fermentation that are very important to the flavor of the particular spirit that's being made. And for us, each one of these creates different flavors, whether it's fruity, spicy, floral, herbal, whatever it might be. It has each one of these yeast strains creates those flavors on top of the mash bill. So two mash bills, five yeast strains, that's how we arrive at 10 recipes. And then with those recipes, we're able to create uniquely or fundamentally different products. So our Four Roses Bourbon, that uses up to all 10 of those recipes. Small batches, four of them. And our standard 100-proof single barrel is always the same recipe.
Well, I'd imagine you have to be a master distiller just to keep it all straight.
Yeah, it was a mouthful, wasn't it?
Brent Elliott, he is the master distiller and quality director here at Four Roses. You can learn more by visiting fourrosesbourbon.com. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you, Mike.
Back after this to wrap the show, this is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire, World of Trouble.
World of Trouble and Manny Frickle win the Jiper.
World of Trouble takes the Carter.
One of the fastest horses of his generation, the son of Cantharos captured both the Grade 1 Carter on dirt and Grade 1 Jiper on turf this year and would go on to record 100-plus buyer speed figures in his last seven starts, including a 118 buyer as a three-year-old, the highest three-year-old buyer speed figure of 2018. World of Trouble, standing at Hillendale.
Shadwell Farm, home to world-class stallions, presents two young stars. Mo Heyman, undefeated two-year-old, multiple graded stakes winner at two and three, a dazzling son of Tappan, winner of his first five career starts, four in graded stakes. Grade one winner, Tamer Coos, winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. This son of Spitestown was a top international miler that earned over $1.8 million. Shadwell Farm, building speed for the future.
The road to the Florida Derby continues at Gulfstream Park. Join us on Saturday, February 29th for the Phasic Tipton Fountain of Youth. Watch the top three-year-old thoroughbreds compete for their chance to become legends. Feel the heart-pounding action up close while viewing from the rail or enjoy within the comfort of our trackside restaurants, Ten Palms or Flamingo Room. Gulfstream provides the best in sports entertainment. Come early to receive a Gulfstream Park umbrella with the purchase of a program. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for more information. Gulfstream Park, thrills at every turn.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by a barren neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Dor! Caraconti!
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti.
A precocious Group 1 winner as a two-year-old and a three-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4/5, recording a 1:14 buyer speed figure. Cara Conti possesses a strong Stormcat male line and hails from a top female family, which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. The only second crop sire with graded stakes winners on dirt and turf, Cara Conti's first crop of three-year-olds includes Sol Volante, winner of the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis Stakes, and undefeated colt Kenzai Warrior, who is pointed to the Group 1 English 2000 Guineas. Value priced at just $10,000, Cara Conti gets the gold according to Chris McGrath's Value Podium in the TDN. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Cara Conti at Gainesway.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
An action-packed 2 hours just about in the books. Thanks to everybody who joined us this morning. Darren Fox from Darley, PJ Campo represents Eric Cancel and Louis Cardenas here. Jude Fell looking back on the late great AP Indy. Libby Imperio, the president of the BCCA. You can donate to the cause over at BelmontChildCare.org. And, of course, Romero Mirage. Wish him best of luck here in the Big Apple and the Northeast. All of our guests will receive some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. Just 10 weeks left till Kentucky Derby 146. Back on the trail next week, the Baron returns to the Equine Forum. You'll hear from me again this Wednesday on Red Brand Radio. Thanks to all our guests. On behalf of them, our producer Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. I hope you win all of your photo finishes. Opening day of spring training, that means just one thing. Let's go, Mets!